Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the H2O Innovation conference call announces its third quarter for fiscal 2017. Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs, et bienvenue à l'appel conférence de H2O Innovation annonçant les résultats financiers du troisième trimestre de l'exercice financier de 2017. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. If anyone has any difficulties hearing the conference, please press the star key followed by zero for operator assistance at any time. Cet appel se déroulera en anglais, mais n'hésitez pas à poser vos questions en français. Before turning the meeting over to management, please be advised that this conference call will contain statements that could be forward-looking and subject to a number of risks and uncertainties and could cause actual results to differ materially from those anticipated. I would like to remind everyone that this conference call is being recorded today, Monday, May 15th, 2017, at 10:00 A.M. Eastern Time. I will now turn the conference over to your hosts, Messieurs Frédéric Dugré and Marc Blanchet. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. My name is Marc Blanchet. I'm CFO of H2O Innovation. This call will be held in English, but I'll just say a brief word in French to our French auditors. Merci et bonjour à tous. Dans un premier temps, j'aimerais vous remercier d'assister à cet appel et vous aviser que même si l'appel se tiendra en anglais, nous répondrons aux questions qui seront posées en français dans la seconde partie de l'appel. Pour faciliter le suivi de l'appel, je vous invite à télécharger la présentation sur notre site internet h2oinnovation.com dans la section Investisseurs. Before we begin, I invite you to download a copy of today's presentation, which can be found on our website at h2oinnovation.com in the section Investors. Frédéric Dugré, President and CEO, is joining me today for the call, which duration is about 30 minutes. In today's call, Frédéric will go over the highlights and challenges of the third quarter of this fiscal year. I will then be discussing the financial results of this third quarter, which ended on March 31st. Before I hand over the call to Frédéric, please take a moment to read the forward-looking statement on page two of the presentation. I would now like to hand over the call to Frédéric Dugré, President and CEO of H2O Innovation.
Thank you, Marc, and thank you for joining the call today. We will present you how our business has evolved on the three distinct and complementary pillars and how the combination of those is impacting our financial performance. Over the years, we have built the business through organic growth and acquisitions along these three pillars. The strategy has allowed us to increase recurring sales, to promote more customer retention, and to reduce the impact of lumpiness coming from projects. Now, let's review our business on each pillar, starting with the projects and engineering solutions. It is with disappointment that we're presenting revenues coming from the project division below our expectations. Despite the fact that our project backlog continues to grow from the commercial success of the FiberFlex, the FlexNBR, and sustained efforts from our sales team to generate revenues in the third quarter, we're still showing an increase of 38%, mostly impacted by delays on project schedule. Unfortunately, the reasons causing these delays are out of our control and imposed by our customers. They are related to construction permit, funding, delayed in tendering process for general contractors. Nevertheless, the backlog keeps growing and has reached a new high of 56.7 million dollars, up 34% from last year, boosted by 4.9 million dollars of new projects. One of the reasons for the success in securing new bookings can be explained by our diversification in various applications, notably in wastewater. The U.S. municipal market is definitely our main market, and we are still expecting sustained growth in the coming years. The slide showing the diversification of our project business represents a lot of work, thought, strategy, and efforts deployed by our sales team. I'm very proud to see how we have been able to diversify the projects we are now capturing. Looking at what we had a few years ago in 2015 compared to what we have today in terms of wastewater activity and new NBR business, it is obvious that we have been able to diversify in a healthy way our business. The diversification in both the application and technology is now allowing us to reduce risk, to open new sales channels, and to build a solid portfolio of technologies. We envision a bright future for our project division, supported by sustained demand of new water and wastewater infrastructure. Looking at the evolution of our project business over the last 10 years, I believe this slide speaks by itself. Looking at the trend of our project backlog reaching $56.7 million at Q3, it is just a matter of time before we see an acceleration of revenues recognition in the coming quarters. For our second business pillar, the specialty products, the various product lines are showing growth through product innovation, expansion of portfolio, addition or replacement of distributors, and improvement in our supply chain. As per the press release announced last Friday, May 11th, we're now looking to strengthen and grow our digital solutions offering in order to help our customers to optimize the maintenance of their membrane systems using artificial intelligence. We believe that IntelliLogic software can help operators to perform maintenance based on performance instead of routine. By doing so, our customers should be able to reduce their OPEX, operational expenses, and extend their membrane life and other assets of their water and wastewater plants. Now let's look at the activities carried in each different product line. For the chemical products, we're now aiming at manufacturing cleaners in-house. It should allow us to gain efficiency, become more competitive, and thus improve our gross margin. For the digital solutions, the rebranding of our software and the multiple improvements will improve customers' experience and thus allow us to secure new customers. For the corrosion and desalination product line under the brand Piedmont, we keep pushing and growing our new filter housing product line. We have also finalized the design of new Style P, a plastic coupling, showing great performance and improvements. Finally, our maple product line continue to go strong, and we keep building momentum from our innovation, the patented Hybrix process, and the SmartTrack solutions. As you can observe, it is not by chance that we have designed the second pillar, but it is not by chance, but by design that we have built the second pillar. The success relies on the addition of new technologies through product innovation and acquisitions. This is how we have been able to grow from $13.2 million back in 2012 to a $28 million 5 years later, a progression of 113% during that period of 5 years. Finally, let's look at the third pillar, established through the acquisition of utility partners in July 2016. Today, we are operating water and wastewater plants for 38 municipal customers in 7 different states. During the third quarter, we have been able to renew and extend 7 contracts and win a new one in New Mexico. In total, we added $5.5 million of new bookings to our backlog of $60.4 million. Today, we are happy to report that the integration is completed with success, both in terms of transition in leadership and customer retention. On top of that, we have been able to secure new sales from cross-selling and synergies. H2 Innovation is a growth story with an average growth of 32% per year, a combination of 18% of organic growth and 31% of external growth. Today, the business relies on 3 pillars. The fundamental growth step of our project relies of a project business were developed between 2002 and 2009. Between 2009 to 2013, we work on the development of the second pillar through the acquisition of PWT and Piedmont and the development of multiple new products. In 2014, we launched the initiative related to our software development that has been recently rebranded as IntelliLogic. And in 2015, we bought ClearLogic, another technology solution that optimized the coagulation injection for membrane system. Finally, last summer, we acquired Utility Partners, around which we are developing our third pillar, the operation and maintenance for water and wastewater assets. I will now let Marc Blanchet, our CFO, review and discuss our financial performance for this third quarter.
Thank you, Frédéric. So for the financial highlights, we're proud to present for the third quarter of fiscal year 2017 revenues of $21 million, which is a 50% increase compared to the same quarter last year. $8.7 million is coming from utility partners. This represents 41% of the revenues of this quarter. After 9 months, it's $26 million of our revenues that are coming from utility partners. This represents 43% of the revenues of this fiscal year. Revenues coming from specialty products and services were at $8.6 million for this third quarter, which represent about 40% of the revenues. For the 9 months of the fiscal year, it is $22.3 million, which represent 36% of the revenues. As for revenues coming from projects for the third quarter, they stood at $4 million. Since July 1st, revenues for the project generated $12.8 million, which represent a decrease of 30% compared to the previous 9 months. It is disappointing. Frederick expressed it, but we feel it doesn't represent fairly the situation of the company. Indeed, during the same 9 months, the backlog increased by 35% from 38.8 on June 30, 2016 to 56.7 as of March 31st. So the increase of the backlog has not been converted to revenue yet. Project that we expected to see entering into manufacturing phase during the second half of our fiscal year have been postponed for different reasons that are out of our control. Fortunately, this is the nature of the project business. Recognition of revenue depends on the milestones of the project. The advancement of the project schedule depends on our clients, and sometimes the schedule is changed for different reasons. As our project backlog is entering into manufacturing phase, we expect to see revenues coming from project pillar in the neighborhood of 25% to 30% over the next fiscal year. The gross profit margin after 9 months is at 23.5% compared to 30% for the same period last year. The decrease in the gross profit margin was explained with the new business mix that includes utility partners' revenues, since operation and maintenance activities generally generates lower gross margin. This is where we expect it to see. As for SG&A, they are at 22.6% for the 9 month period, down from 23.4 last year. We would like to see SG&A below the 20% mark. It's now above this mark again due to the lower volume of revenue coming from project. Note that we note also that some of the SG&A increase is due to the investment we've continued to make in the development of new product for Piedmont and in the commercialization of product launch earlier this year. We generated an EBITDA for the third quarter of $411,000, or 1.9%, compared to 1.2% last year. And for the nine-month period, we generated an EBITDA of $1,850,000, or 3%, compared to $2.7 million, or 7% last year. I invite you to go on slide 14. We're presenting an EBITDA bridge analysis. We explained the gap of EBITDA between last fiscal year and this year for the same nine-month period. This year, EBITDA is at 3% compared to 7% last year. The 4% difference is explained by the decrease of revenue from project, SG&A increase, and shift of the SPNS business mix. As explained earlier, project revenue decreased and some of our project execution has been postponed. So lower volume coming from project explained 1.5% of the EBITDA gap. As for the SG&A, it increased since we've made the decision to continue to invest in product development and commercialization of new product launched earlier this year. This explained an additional 1.5% of the difference. Finally, the business mix in SPNS pillar explains the last 1%. The gross margin weight varies from one product to another in the SPNS pillar. Some products have higher margin than others. On the third quarter last year, gross margin was pushed up by a very important order of couplings, which are products that are sold with a higher gross margin. So we expect to see the EBITDA ratio over revenue coming back to 6 to 7% as volume coming from project increases. As for the business mix, you know, this graph shows the evolution of the business mix. We've presented the historical milestones already, but it's interesting to see the evolution of the revenue coming from different pillar. We started to build the second pillar in 2009 following the acquisition of PwT. And now in Q1, we're adding the third pillar of operating and maintenance with the integration of utility partners results into our revenues. We can see that H2O Innovation is now a very well-balanced business. It doesn't rely on one pillar. It has three strong pillars. On the right of the slide, the purple and green pie graph shows the revenues that are coming from SPNS and operating and maintenance, which generate revenues that are recurring in nature. This is now about 80% of our revenues. With such level of recurring revenue, the business model allows us to gain predictability, secures long-term relationship with customers, and therefore we're less and less dependent of the project. Even though the backlog is growing, the project is still a growth vehicle, but this business model allows us to more predictability in our results. As for the financial position, our working cap ratio improved to 1.66 compared to 1.55 on June 2016. Our working cap has increased with the acquisition of utility partners. Receivable increased by 3.5 million since June 2016, coming essentially from specialty products and services activities, which is Piedmont, more specifically Piedmont and Maple. Inventory increased by $900,000 to 5.3 million to support Maple equipment and specialty chemicals. As for the net debt, it increased by 8.1 million. And it now stands at 14.4. It's essentially debt subscribed for the acquisition of utility partners. As for the cash flow, operating activities used 1.1 million in cash for the three-month period ended March 31st, compared with 318,000 for the same period last year. Note that during this quarter, we have reimbursed $630,000 of debt. We have invested close to $1 million in capex and paid $640,000 of our earnout related to a ClearLogix acquisition. This concludes my remarks on the financing section. I now hand over the call back to Frederick for conclusion remarks.
Thank you, Mark. Our business is healthy and strong, and today we rely on record high combined backlog of $117 million from the projects and O&M group. This gives us an excellent visibility, as explained Mark, on revenues for the coming quarters. Through our business evolution and transformation, we now have 81% of our revenues coming from sales or customers recurring by nature. Now, despite the low revenue recognition for this third quarter, the project business continued to grow its backlog, notably in wastewater, a segment in which we didn't tap into in the last years. The specialty products continue to show sustained growth coming from sales and expansion of our product and product innovation. Finally, we are very proud to present the progress done on our third pillar and how we have been able to integrate successfully this important acquisition. All O&M contracts coming up for renewal have been renewed or extended. We have secured one new contract in New Mexico, and we have even been able to secure new sales from cross-selling opportunities. The O&M business will remain strategic for us in the coming years, and will open up new opportunities for acquisition as well. Thank you for joining us today.
And if you have any questions, I think the operator will take over the call.
Correct. We'll move to the section for questions.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Jerry Sweeney of Roth Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Frederick.
Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Jerry.
Just wanted to spend a minute or two on the project side. Obviously, we've talked a little bit about this in the past in terms of some of the projects moving through their phases and being delayed. But on that front, have you gone back and looked at and rechecked the projects and see if any issues with funding would remove them from backlog? Or are you pretty confident that the current backlog is going to come to fruition at some point?
Yeah, what we have currently in the backlog will come through execution. At the moment, we're aware that there's a significant funding issue that could, you know, put the project at risk. We're going to disclose it and remove it. So it's at this point, you know, it's delayed. They're going through their funding. Some are going through their funding requirements, and there's only one at this
there's
point that is
one project that is
going through. I mean, there's other ones related to permitting, as I explained, some related to environmental permitting, some related to construction permitting. It's very frustrating, and again, it's out of our control, unfortunately.
No, I understand that and respect that. How big is that one potential project they're looking at the funding?
It's relatively small. I mean, we're talking about less than $1.5 million worth of project.
Okay, got it. Perfect. No, that's very helpful. And what's the overall tone of the market? Obviously, projects, backlogs, you know, you're at record highs and it's doing very well from the backlog perspective. Are you still seeing lots of opportunity out there?
A lot.
Indeed. Okay.
Indeed, a lot. I mean, this is why it's even more frustrating, is that we keep being successful in adding more projects. And on the other end, when we look at what we're currently delivering, it's ridiculous. So it's even more frustrating because there is a lot of opportunities that we're currently going after. And as I said earlier, also, we're doing it now in a way that it's much more diversified in terms of applications and in terms of technology. So it's not only RO, it's UF, it's MBR, it's not only drinking water, but it's water reuse and wastewater. So it's very healthy now where we are today.
Okay, and that's helpful. And also, it sounded like a lot of it has been in the municipal side. Are you seeing anything on the industrial side as well from that perspective?
Yes, there's a few industrial customers that we're chasing and some that we have been able to reach out. As you know, fortunately, the oil and gas sector is more quiet these days, but we have been successful in securing opportunities in the mining sector into other industrial areas as well in the United States.
Got it. And then one quick question on the O&M side, and I'll jump back in. Well, congratulations on the New Mexico project. I think that's the first one you've won since Utility Partners has been under the H2O Innovation umbrella.
Correct.
Just wanted to see if you could give a little bit of commentary on the opportunities on that front. Are you seeing, are you going to start bidding on projects on that front, or are you going to be looking more for acquisition opportunities, or both?
Well, both. I mean, actually, what we try to focus first was to complete the integration, so make sure that we preserve what we had in terms of customer base and keep our employees as well. So this is kind of achieved now. Now we're getting into organic growth. So first, we're trying to engage our team into going after opportunities within their existing territory. So reaching out the neighbors, reaching out the existing contracts, and try to expand their scope of work within their existing territory that they're managing. So that's the first organic growth, first step we're pushing our team to do. And yes, the second one is to go after and bidding on new opportunities for operation and maintenance. So this is both the organic strategy that we have. On top of that, in the coming years and the coming quarters, yes, we'll remain opportunistic for other acquisitions on that pillar as well.
Okay, great. I appreciate it. I'll jump back in line. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Gabriel Leung of Beacon Securities. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, and thanks for taking my questions. A couple of things. First, on the specialty side, I might have missed it, but what was your commentary around the year-over-year decline in revenues in that division?
Can you repeat your question? What was what?
On the specialty side of the business, there was a year-over-year decline in revenues. I don't know if I missed your commentary around why it was down year-over-year.
Why was it down from previous year?
Yeah.
On the second
so
pillar?
Last year, I mean, it was announced, we received a very important order for couplings
for Piedmont.
So, and it was all delivered on the third quarter, which it was about $1 million worth of couplings that were with a you know, significant higher margin than others of our products in that business line. So the business mix for SP&S, for specialty products and services, had a higher weight for higher margin products in a significant quantity. So this is why you see that revenues were higher last year for that and margin as well.
It's okay. One particular delivery for one particular detailed project coming from Piedmont.
Got it. That's perfect. As it relates to utility partners, seems like most of the heavy lifting has been done here on the integration. But are there any other sort of integration milestones that you're expecting to sort of hit over the next couple of quarters that you should be aware of? And in terms of near-term opportunities for O&M, are you seeing a lot of greenfield opportunities, or are the deals you're dealing with mostly sort of competitive displacements at this point?
Two things. First, yes, the integration is done. Now we're getting into the quote-unquote fun part of integration, because now we're putting efforts towards value creation for our customers. How can we promote more and more cross-selling between the different divisions? How can we engage our engineering to improve existing projects we're operating? So yes, the milestones related to the integration itself have been completed. Second portion to your question, yes, I mean, what we're trying to do for the growth of the O&M business is to go to existing municipal customers that are, quote-unquote, struggling with their operation because it's run under the city, under the public work environment, and we're trying to privatize their existing public work team to improve performance and operations. So some may go for tendering, some may not. It depends. Each project are different. But it's long-term development, and it's showing off, you know, how can we improve and reduce their OPEX and stabilize their expenses related to the operation of their infrastructure. So the vast majority will be turning from public to private. A little bit will be from greenfield opportunities, like new plants under construction, where we'll be proposing O&M. But I think, you know, there will be a balance between 50-50 of what we see. I mean, greenfield versus existing O&M.
That's great. Maybe two more questions, if I may. The first question, as it relates to, I guess, the GE Water transaction back announced a couple of months ago. You know, have you guys seen any benefits, I guess, from the transaction, whether it be in the form of, you know, potential customers looking to maybe make a switch, or maybe, you know, some cherry picking some employees from that group? I was wondering how that transaction announces an impact to your business.
Well, we haven't seen any significant change yet. I think for us, it reinforced the thesis of being an agnostic player in the membrane industry. I think it supports even more our strategy. I think since we are going after the small mid-sized market, which is the largest segment in the industry in North America, by having GE joining Suez, they may decide to go and after a larger segment or bigger projects than we're currently pursuing. So it's early to say, but I haven't seen any significant change in terms of competitive environment yet. And so far for us, we're still in a good position to capture new opportunities, I think.
As for resources, maybe we can say that we've hired actually one of their good salesperson earlier this year, just before the transaction. But the transaction was announced that GE was for sale, and this one of the good salesmen of GE has joined H2O.
Awesome. One last thing, just on a casual statement. Notice that the CapEx and the capitalized R&D side combines about $1 million. in Q3, a little bit higher than what we've seen in the past few quarters. I mean, Mark, can you talk about how we should expect those two lines to trend over the next couple of quarters?
Yeah, well, some of you know we are implementing a new ERP, and we are in the final phase of the phase two. So we there was some investment last year, and this year there is again some investment. It's actually it's purchase of new license, and there are also CapEx increased a bit also because of utility partners. It has some CapEx requirements. So we, you know, when you have a new contract, for example, or when you renew, we put some commitments related to purchase of new vehicles or could be new equipment. So this has increased a bit our CapEx. And we've purchased also in the development of products related to Piedmont, new Piedmont couplings, style P, and the new FRP system. So we've purchased some molds, and so those are CapEx that have been made over the last quarter. As for upcoming quarters, it won't be, shouldn't be as high as this. And there was also the new cleaning facility, equipment to build the cleaners in our chemicals facility. So for the next quarters, we shouldn't see it that high. It may be a bit more lumpy depending on projects that we will be securing with utility partners. So let's say we have a new project, we need to buy a few vehicles and some equipment. This when it'll happen, but generally it comes with good news. So that's my remark.
Awesome. And I guess maybe as a follow-on to that, just in terms of utility partner new contracts, I guess it's your expectation is that, you know, as it relates to new contracts anyways, you probably get a lower margin contribution on the initial year, followed by a bit more profitable in the next several years after that, right?
It will depend on the depreciation schedule. You could depreciate all the assets. I mean, there are two strategies on that. Either we depreciate everything right away, and then we have a higher margin, we'll try to avoid lumpiness. So we will have a strategy that will allow us to maybe lease it on the duration of the contract.
Right. Okay, that's great. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Nick Mersch of Haywood Securities. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. On the O&M side, you were also going to hire a biz dev head, I think you said on the last quarterly call. Is this done yet? And how many salespeople do you have?
In terms of business development, we have not hired anybody yet for business development for O&M. The efforts for this first year, as Frederick explained, was to make sure that we complete the integration, that we merge our two entities correctly. The business development was mostly made by I would say management over there
internally.
But as for next year, we intend to put that in our budget to hire someone specialized in business development, and therefore be able maybe to generate faster growth on that aspect.
Okay, thanks. In regards to the press release back on the 11th about Intellogix, will this software only be used in plants owned and operated by H2O, or can you go and embed it into other systems that are already in place and make them more efficient?
It can be installed on other plants than H2O plants. We have some visibility on a few plants where we're tending to install it. But obviously, I think it will be easier for us to get going and build momentum first on H2O plants. But it's open for both platforms.
Okay, and this is the higher margin section, about 70%
yeah,
margin?
I mean, it's a typical software high margin that you can expect. I mean, it took us a few years to get there, but now it's a matter of putting the efforts and the money towards the commercialization and the distribution of this software. So
that's the next phase for us.
Okay, makes sense. That's it for me. Thanks.
Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. I will turn the call back over to the presenters.
Well, thank you very much for joining the call today. We'll look forward to catch up with you at the end of our fiscal year when we will be presenting you the fourth quarter and our annual year end. So thank you all, and go on the website to look at the presentation and review the financial statements. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.